You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy's good.
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings. And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans who are not affiliated with a major network. I'm your host, the Godfather Nate Milton. I am currently in recovery. I'm currently, in my feelings right now. If anybody that saw the Avengers this weekend, y'all know what I'm talking about. Marcus doesn't know because that's he'll get to it 10 years from now.
Yes.
But yes, let me bring in my co-host, the man from Southern California, ladies and gentlemen, Marcus, whatever it takes. And he won't get that reference until 10 years from now. Vandenberg, how you doing, man?
So there's what, 22 films in the MCU?
Yep.
I've seen like
films spanning over like 10 years of some change.
Okay, I've seen like 1.5. I remember seeing part of Iron Man, I believe.
So you see Iron Man and Black Panther, that's it.
Oh, 2.5. I saw Guardians. I really like Guardians a lot.
Okay, yeah, Guardians was an interesting one because it was a comic that like even hardcore comic book fans, like you had to be super hardcore to know about the Guardians, because I didn't even really know about the Guardians.
How many of the films are like Guardians and Black Panther in the sense of like, it's obviously telling a comic book story, but it's sort of telling it in a non-comic book way, if that makes any sense?
I would say
Iron Man feels like it's a comic book movie. Like,
yeah.
That influence.
Well, I mean, there's certainly a formula with a lot of these. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean they're bad. It just means that they have, certain stuff that they got to do because they're comic book movies. I'd say Black Panther's different. Guardians is different. Thor Ragnarok is different, even though it's a Thor movie.
Okay.
Like, because the first two Thor, like, the first one was okay. The second one is Dark World that, not a lot of people like. And then the third one was just kind of, they were, like, rebooting the Thor franchise. So they just kind of took it to a whole crazy different level. And it feels a little bit like Guardians. So you might like Thor Ragnarok.
Okay.
Got some good jokes in it, some good because basically like Thor is on this, he ends up on this like a warrior planet, and at one point he's thrown into the Colosseum. He has to fight for his freedom or whatever, and one of the people that he's matched up against is the Hulk, who wound up on this planet somehow. And then the rest of the movie is like Hulk and Thor on this buddy team up trying to overthrow the government.
It's like the Mega Powers.
Right, yeah. We got Savage, we got Hogan. There's even a girl in the movie, so she could be Elizabeth. Yep, Tessa Thompson. So you got to put on the color in the movie. But yeah, some really good movies. And then, like I said, Endgame was really good. I'm not going to spoil it for Marcus. I'm not going to be petty this week. But I do have a video review up on the Patreon for the people right now that they can check out. And it's funny because I had the movie spoiled, Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't hurt my enjoyment of the movie, but it took away a big surprise. And basically what happened was my nieces were on spring break. So they saw the movie last week, like opening night, I think. And so I talked to them this week and they were like, we went and saw Avengers. It was great. And, the older two girls, they know better than to spoil a movie for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And then my youngest niece just pops on. I was like, how'd you like the movie? And she's like, did you know blank died? And I was like, really? So she put the name out there. Like, did you know blank died? And I was like, And it put me in a weird situation, Marcus, because on the one hand, you know, this is my niece, I love her and everything. But on the other hand, like, you just fucked up my whole movie-going experience. So it's like, I have a smile on my face, but on the inside, I'm like, really? So, but it was funny because her sister heard her say that, and she's like, Maya, you can't do that. That's called spoiling a movie. You're ruining his movie experience. She's like, oh, I thought he wanted to know what happened. I'm like, so I found out before I went to the movie. Cause I was actually going to wait till later this week.
Okay.
But once she spoiled it, I was
like,
I might as well go see it and be able to talk with everybody about it.
Even the little kids know better than one Kel Dansby, who decided to just tweet about the movie on Sunday because he felt like, oh, everyone's had a chance to see it, so let's talk about all these spoilers. No one has time.
Did he at least give people some warning?
I don't know, but if you're, you know, if you're following on Twitter and you come across tweets about the movie, I'd be kind of upset. It's been 2 days.
Yeah, like you got to give people at least a week, I think.
Yeah,
like at least a week to me is reasonable, especially a movie this big. Like it's gonna break all sorts of records, and this is like it's the ending of 22 movies worth of stories, 10 years worth of stories. So it'd be like somebody coming in, you reading a book, Marcus, for 10 years. I don't know why it's taking you this long to read this book. And you on the last page, and Kel walks up to you. You know he died right there. Like, what the hell I watch out, read all these books for? But it was still good, man. Like, even having the ending spoiled, I enjoyed it. And I think, you know, if you even halfway like these movies, you'll dig it. Like, I was talking to John Pollock last night, friend of the program over at Post Wrestling. We did the Impact review. And after we got through recording the review for the Rebellion pay-per-view, I'm like, so how'd you like the movie? He's like, I loved it. And, you know, John is somebody who has come late to the superhero stuff.
Yes. John's my inspiration to watch all these movies because John was, like myself, he was not on the MCU train. Way was, and but now John has come around to it.
Yeah, John knows who Steve Rogers is, and so yeah, I think if John liked it, I think you'll probably like it eventually when you see it 15 years from now.
It'll be soon. I mean, look, Disney Plus comes out.
So you get Disney Plus with the end of this year.
End of this year, you got 20 movies to watch or so. And then, so there's actually one more, right? Spider-Man, there's another Spider-Man coming out, right?
Yeah, Spider-Man's coming out. We got Spider-Man Far From Home, which is the follow-up to his movie. And then they haven't announced it yet, but there'll be another Black Panther.
Okay.
Because it made so much money and Coogler already.
But that'd be a separate story.
Well, it's all the same universe. But, like, the story they've been telling for the last 10 years, like, that's come to an end.
Okay.
But it's, like, the people still, like, the other people, whoever made it out of the movie, like, their story still goes on.
Gotcha. So, and then another Guardians coming, too.
I was going to say, they got another Guardians coming because James Gunn is back now. But look at it like this was WrestleMania. Like, a bunch of storylines came to an end at WrestleMania, but then you still got stuff that's going to happen.
Gotcha. Well, I hope it had better writing than WrestleMania. Equally as long, probably. It sounds like it's equally as long, but
it was it's better writing than WrestleMania. Just as long if you put both Infinity War and Endgame together. But yeah, it was a good time.
All right, I'm gonna find probably during the holidays. I'm gonna find a 3 week window where I'm gonna watch one movie a night.
And you get Stan Lee's last cameo in the movie. So
that's what you think.
Like, I'm getting checks from the beyond, nigga.
Yeah.
Like, Mr. Lee. I would recommend Avengers Endgame. I think I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment because I just saw it, but as of right now, it's my favorite Marvel movie.
Wow.
Even over Black Panther.
Okay.
So, I don't think, where should we start, Marcus? Because we got a couple things to talk about this week. We got the NBA playoffs, the NFL draft. I'm not talking hockey this week, which is why we haven't booked a hockey guest. You can wake me up when we get to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Even then, we might be a hard pass at this point.
We got your man, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., doing his thing up in Toronto.
Yes.
So you want to start with baseball since you are wearing the hat of America's team?
Yes, let's start with baseball. Do you want to start with the good about baseball or the bad about baseball?
Let's start positive because, you know, we're coming off right. Avengers Endgame. Let's start with the positive before we get to the negative.
Vladdy Jr. is up. Very excited about this. He is the top prospect in baseball. He is the son of a Hall of Famer in Vladimir Guerrero Sr. Yep. And he's 20 years old. He is, expected to be the face of the franchise now with the Blue Jays. And
what year was he drafted?
He was not drafted. He was a international signing.
Ah, okay.
The Blue Jays signed him. If he's 20, it must have been 3 or 4 years ago.
Okay.
And he has come through the minor leagues. I think Vladimir is the closest we've seen so far to like a Zion in the sense of because of social media.
3 or 4 years, he kind of flew through the minor league system.
He flew up, and because of social media, it's allowed him to. You can see his home runs and some of his just ridiculous power, the same way you could sort of watch Zion stunts in high school, and obviously at Duke. So the Jays called him up on for Friday. They ended up sweeping the A's at home. They're actually traveling to Anaheim for Tuesday, where I will be at for his road debut. And okay. Anaheim is special because essentially Vladimir Jr. spent his prime childhood in Anaheim because of his father, who played for the Angels, obviously. So that'll be, I think, a special
That's right. Special yeah, people kind of forget that chapter in Vlad's career.
Yeah. Obviously he has the Canada connection. He was born in Montreal because Vlad was on the Expos at the time. And now he's playing for the team, the country that where he's from. And Vlad was in Anaheim for, how many seasons was he here? Let's see, I didn't find it.
Talking with John last night, like it's already the Vlad Jr. mania seems to already be kind of taking hold up there.
Vlad was 2004 through 2009.
Okay.
He was on the Angels, and then after the Blue Jays playing Anaheim, they go to Texas, where Vladimir also played.
Yep.
So he's got a little ties to the Rangers. So this is like the Vlad Junior World Tour for him.
So and how long, Marcus, before Major League Baseball sucks all the fun out of this dude? Do you think because he's in Toronto, maybe the crowd up there will give him a little bit more? Because it's not as it's not as strict or structured, or we got to play the right way as it is down here.
No, I think Daly's did a good job with. Did you see the video they did with his father, sort of introducing him or congratulating him?
Yeah, thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that was really cool, and that's something I think they can do more of, and they probably don't do enough of around a rookie. I don't know if I would classify him as a super flashy guy, just from the stuff I've seen in the minors. I don't think he's going to be a Tim Anderson. So I don't think they have to worry about that. And
they call that foreshadowing in the business.
Yes. I think he'll be fine in that sense.
Do you think that, and this is a conversation we've had a bunch of times here on the Kings of Sport, do you think he has the potential to actually be somebody who can break free of the constructs and the confines of baseball and become a star outside of his sport and bring people to baseball?
It's going to be hard if he doesn't feel comfortable speaking English, I think.
Mm.
And I think that's always the challenge with some of the Latin players is, and this is, I think, the same issue maybe you make the case in boxing, because I think Canelo is obviously a huge superstar in Mexico, but for boxing fans in the States who maybe don't speak Spanish or have that connection, I don't think he's as big of a star as a Mayweather.
No, that's the guy from the Modelo Especial commercials.
Yes. And a lot of that is because his English is not the best.
Right.
You know, I don't know how comfortable he is speaking the language. I know Vlad Sr. was never super comfortable. I mean, he knows a little bit, but I think he preferred to speak Spanish. So I think that's the one thing that will prevent him from sort of becoming that superstar, that household name for baseball.
Mm. Yeah, I hope that, you know, not only does he have a great career on the field, but I think that this kind of youth, and we, you know, talking about the Atlanta Braves, you see that with players like Acuna and Albies, like some of these younger guys who maybe don't quite look like the majority of the audience mm-hmm. of Major League Baseball. But, you know, they bring in quality play, but also some excitement to the game. And I wish the sport would encourage that more. You know, it's because it's not about, you know, showing somebody up or disrespecting somebody, but let's have fun. Like, this is ostensibly a game. So why are we being so serious about it?
Yeah. And I think because we're being serious about it, because the people who write about the sport are a certain demographic.
Yes.
And the fan base is a certain demographic and a certain age. And, you know, you have
NBA. I think you said something on the show before where you're like the median age of a baseball fan is like in their 50s.
Yes, I think it's even older than wrestling fans.
Mm.
So that's pretty old.
So they don't cotton to people like Tim Anderson.
No. They are probably the polar opposite of what Tim Anderson represents.
I don't know why I use the word cotton in that sentence.
I know.
Maybe that was a Freudian slip.
But we can talk about Tim Anderson.
Yeah, let's talk about Tim Anderson. Let's go from the good to the not so good, shall we say?
Yeah. So Tim Anderson was in the middle of some controversy. This was almost a week and a half ago now.
Yeah.
After a home run, I think in the third inning, he sort of spiked his bat. In it's part of a celebration against the Kansas City Royals, and next time up, he was drilled by Brad Keller of the Royals, and the bench is cleared, and no punches were thrown. But reportedly, during this incident, Anderson was yelling the N-word at Brad Keller. And he ended up getting suspended a game as a result for using this word.
Mm. And for those that don't know, Tim Anderson is black.
Tim Anderson is blackity black.
Like, you might not know by just hearing the name, but
yeah.
Tim, what was his full name? Timothy Devon Anderson?
And where is Timothy Devon Anderson from, Nate? Do you have it there?
Timothy Devon Anderson is from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Thank you.
He's super black.
Super black, and, you know, the word has different meanings in different places. And I understand why that word might sort of be more comfortable for
some people.
Brad
Keller, for the record, for those listening, is not super black.
Not black. Not black at all.
He's the opposite of super black.
So, Nate, and mind you, this happened, I think, the same week as Jackie Robinson week. So, the yep. irony there is you have this black player getting suspended for using a black word towards a white player. And I was, you know, someone asked me, what were my thoughts? And I got a couple of those inquiries from, like, hey, let me ask this black person, what did they think?
Mark, I'm sure Marcus has a great take on this.
Yeah, and I really didn't have a great take. I understand where baseball is coming from. Because trust me, if this was Brad Keller using the word towards Tim Anderson,
yeah,
it would be a problem.
Absolutely.
It would be a fight.
So is the rule strictly on like racial names or epithets, or is it just like if Tim Anderson had called him an MF-er, would he still have gotten fined?
No, I think it was because of the racial dynamic. I don't think it was okay. Because of true language. It was because of racially charged or whatever term you want to use, language.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to tell Tim Anderson what he can and cannot say.
Right.
At the same time, I understand why MLB did what they did, and I think it's probably to protect the black players in the sense because you don't want
to. Yeah, because you already know if they didn't do anything to Tim Anderson.
Yeah, you got to nip this in the bud. And
next time, I don't know, I'm not even going to say a player's name. But
yeah.
Well, who was your boy? No, we can say a player's name.
Josh Hader?
Yeah, say Josh Hader says something, yeah. And he doesn't get fined or suspended.
Yeah. Well,
how come Tim can say it?
If Josh Hader strikes a guy out and he
take just, that, nigger.
Take that, yeah, that'd be a problem. So I get it, and I also understand why, you know, black players feel some type of way about being punished. But, Nate, what are your thoughts about the word in general in a sport that is not majority black by any means?
I mean, the rule should definitely be in place, and I think they have a similar rule in the NFL as well, if I'm not mistaken.
I think, yes, I think someone
racial language
has been popped for that before, or
yep.
Yes.
So I like that the rule is in place. I think maybe there should be more discretion involved. Because in a situation like this, yes, Tim Anderson probably shouldn't have called Brad Keller a nigga. Mm-hmm. but it's not the same as if it was Brad Keller calling that to Tim Anderson.
Yeah.
Like, those are two different situations involving the same word. So I would say if you want to, you know, hit him in the pocket for being quote-unquote unprofessional, okay, that's cool. I wouldn't, you know, dock him any games for it, though.
Yeah.
I think it's got to be, you know, the rule should be there, but it should be a case-by-case basis.
And, you know, Tim Anderson did not fight it. he served the suspension. The funny part was that last week or last weekend, he hit a walk-off home run and
yep.
Did a similar celebration. And what do you know? No one cared. It was fine. There was no retaliation, to my knowledge. The next day was rained out, and then Sunday, I'm assuming no one threw at him, so I didn't hear anything. So it's a very complex issue with the unwritten rules because I don't think the rules apply to everyone. I think the rules apply to certain players in baseball, usually black and brown. And
yep.
I would be curious to see the numbers on just say like the last 10 years of guys who have been thrown at
what
looks like compared to the actual percentage of players in the game.
And it's like baseball is sending a mixed message itself because on the one hand, you know, you do have these unwritten rules
mm-hmm.
and, you know, people protecting, quote unquote, the best interest of the game. But on the other hand, last year during the playoffs, we talked about it on the show. They had that Ken Griffey Jr. commercial.
Yep.
Let the kids play
campaign. Uh-huh.
So it's like, let the kids play, but not too much.
not this kid.
Let the kids play, but not those kids.
Not those kids. No. Bryce Harper, you can play the game. No. Tim Anderson, no. You need to, you know. And Jermaine, let me find these tweets. Old man Jermaine is showing his age here.
Uh-oh. Problematic Jermaine from Chicago.
He said, I feel bad for Carl Edwards. This is a separate issue. It's 2019. We should all be on this. Tim Anderson needs to stop showboating. He is an average player at best. I wouldn't throw at his head, but I would put one in his ribs. To which I responded, who decides who can celebrate and who can't? Mind you, Tim Anderson's batting 400 this year, but, you know, fats don't matter. Jermaine's response was, I'm old school. You can beat me. I'll accept that, but I'm not going to let you embarrass me. When I see Steph shooting threes, laughing and showboating, I would bring in a goon. I would throw at the head, but I would... Maybe he's meant to say I wouldn't throw at the head. But I would put it in a guy's ribs. Plus, you get more room on the plate.
I'd Jermaine McCann over here.
Yeah. You break your legs.
So, question though, because I would be interested to know, Marcus Vandenberg, if does Jason Hayward still play for the Cubs?
He does.
Okay. I'd be interested if this were Jason Hayward and not Tim Anderson. Because, you know, Jermaine's a Cubs fan.
Yeah, not so much a White Sox fan.
Not so much the White Sox. I wonder if his boy was doing it, would he feel the same way?
Yes.
Jermaine?
I don't... Listen, are athletes this fragile that they can't handle a celebration? Like, yeah. Why celebrations... Why is this allowed and tolerated in the NFL... And even in the NBA to certain levels. But for baseball, it's like, how dare you show some emotion in front of me? Me as the pitcher who gave up the home run. If you don't want the celebrations, don't give up home runs. There you go.
Yeah.
I don't understand why baseball players are so emotionally fragile when it comes to people celebrating an action.
And... Like, I consider myself old school too, but I do think you have to evolve with the times.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I think there's levels to it. Like, if a guy is celebrating and a guy is, you know, like, I think it was Tim Anderson when he flipped his bat, didn't he flip it towards his own dugout?
Toward his own dugout.
Like, if a guy's celebrating an accomplishment. Yeah. Okay, cool. But if you're actively being disrespectful, I think that's a different story.
Yeah, if he was taunting the Royals bench while running it on the bases, okay, that's one thing. But if he's just celebrating hitting this home run, come on.
Right. Like let the kids play, I think is what somebody said. So that's what I would do, man, because like if I think there's a line like between being exuberant and being extra and being disrespectful. And if you're being disrespectful to my team, you might catch one.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just celebrating, like, hey, you got us on that one, you know, we'll try to get you on the next one.
And most of the times, the disrespect is not there. And if it is there, it's usually provoked by something else that's lingering. It's not someone going out of their way.
Right.
Especially in April, to be disrespectful towards the other team. Like, come on. It's
We 2 weeks into the season. I hate you already.
Yeah.
And again, part of this is also a cultural thing, because as we saw during the World Baseball Classic, certain players from certain places celebrate in different ways. And if you want everybody to be in the tent, if you want, you know, to bring more fans to your game, I don't think trying to put a lid on that enthusiasm is going to help you.
Even in Japan. Japan is notorious for bat flips.
Yes. Yeah. And nobody takes baseball more seriously than the Japanese.
They seem to be okay. They seem to survive day in and day out with people pimping the shit out of home runs. Yep. And it's okay. So I don't understand why it's just in MLB where it becomes this... I don't know. And I think there's a variety of reasons why the sport has sort of stalled out in terms of new fans. But this is definitely one of them. This is an issue. It's going to continue to be an issue trying to get a younger fan base. If kids find the sport to just be, I don't want to say boring, but just lacking personality.
Yeah, and especially in a sport where we've seen they've had such a hard time making stars. Like, Mike Trout should be somebody that everybody knows.
Yeah.
And honestly, other than that one body armor commercial with him and Andrew Luck. Like, I haven't seen many national endorsement opportunities for Mike Trout outside of in the body of a baseball game.
How many baseball players did your parents name right now?
My dad could probably name a bunch of the Orioles, and that's it.
Okay.
He could name a bunch of the Orioles, probably Trout, your man Bryce.
Okay.
Adam Jones, and who's played for the Reds, but only because he played for the Orioles. That's about it. Like, I think, you know, because back in the day, you used to be able to identify at least four or five guys on every team.
Yeah.
Now, even as somebody who's a baseball fan myself, I couldn't, like, if you said, you know, I'll give you $2 million if you name me all of your Braves players plus three guys off of every other Major League Baseball team, I wouldn't make that money. I couldn't do it.
Yeah. It's
and we're people who like baseball.
I could name those guys, but
all right, Marcus, hold on, let me get my $2 million.
Swanson, Albies, Acuna, Culberson, Freeman, McCann.
The whole 54-man roster.
Mats Fried, Teron, Minter. I'll stop.
Freeman.
And I named Freeman.
You did? Okay.
Yeah. Mark Cages.
Yeah. And this is Marcus Vandenberg. This is a man who loves baseball. This is a man who has an entire group of buddies who love baseball.
Yes.
A man who covers baseball for Yahoo Sports. And I would say, I won't put words in your mouth, Marcus, but I would say your enthusiasm for the game is probably not at its peak level in terms of where it was maybe when you were a little bit younger.
As a fan, no.
Yeah, just a fan.
No, it's not. And part of that, I think, is just the job. And not that the job's a bad thing, but, you know, work is work.
Yeah.
And I think watching baseball for work is different than watching baseball as a fan.
And you like watching wrestling to do reviews.
Exactly. Once you're sort of exposed to clubhouses and, you know, you sort of see other sides of athletes, and it's just different. So, yeah, I think my fandom has – it's not the same as when I was little. And, you know, I do wonder, like, when my son is old enough to start watching sports, which direction will he gravitate to, if any? I do think baseball will be a harder sell than, say, maybe basketball or even soccer. Or football, I don't know. He's not playing football, I'd take that.
Good luck trying to get him to watch hockey.
Wouldn't that be something? He's turned into a huge hockey fan.
Hockey Negro, the next generation.
Yes. And then there's always wrestling, which will be an interesting conversation.
That'll be interesting to see if he gravitates towards wrestling or any of the combat sports, boxing, MMA. Yeah, we'll have to keep doing this show until he's 15, 16, 17 years old, and we can get him on and find out what he's interested in.
Yes.
So, all right, so that's our baseball talk. Shout out to Tim Anderson. Keep doing your thing, despite what haters even in your own town will say.
Yeah, be your own people, man. Be your own people.
Yep. Hold on one second. I got somebody at my door, so talk to the people for a minute, Mark.
What in the wide, wide world of sports
Nate
is going on here?
Goes to check on his door. What else is happening in the world of baseball that I can vamp about? We are about a month in to the regular season, and I think one of the bigger storylines has been the New York Yankees and just how injured they have been. And if you haven't seen their roster recently, good luck trying to name five guys on their current roster. So it's been pretty remarkable to watch the Yankees sort of do what they've been doing in terms of winning, despite having your top stars like Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge. Gary Sanchez was hurt. He's back recently. So, and there's Nate. I was talking about the Yankees roster and how You're talking about naming guys on the team. There's no way you can name anyone on the Yankees.
It's like Judge and who else?
Now Judge is hurt.
Yeah.
Talk about the guys who aren't hurt.
He's at the active roster.
The active people roster.
Let's see. Let's see. We got Chet. Stan. Is Stan out there?
Stan's hurt.
Damn. Yeah, you stumped me. Like, those are the two I know.
It's gotten so bad that the Yankees recently signed Cameron Maben.
Oh, Spider-Man.
He's on the current roster.
Cameron Maben.
Along with guys like Mike Ford, Mike Tauchman, Tyler Wade.
Are these Yankees players or NXT developmental talent?
Gio Urshela. These are actual Yankees. And they're still winning. They're like they're almost in first place. So,
Interesting.
By the way, the Yankees have a black pitcher, Nate.
Really?
Yes. Another black pitcher outside of CC.
Yeah. Who's this other black pitcher? Have I heard of him before?
No, you have not. His name is Stephen Tarpley.
That doesn't sound black at all.
He went to USC. He's from LA.
Okay.
He's a reliever. But, and that's sad. In 2019, it's still pretty rare that you see not just a black player, but a black pitcher. That's still pretty rare, unfortunately.
Okay, Steve. I see you, Stephen Tarpley. Joined the Yankees in 2018. Okay, and he's a lefty.
Yeah, so he's down in their bullpen.
Okay, good for you, brother. But yeah, like the black pitcher used to be the black quarterback was the rarity.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got plenty of black quarterbacks. We just don't have any black pitchers.
Yeah, I mean, and the super rare is the black catcher, which I think we've talked about on the show. But it is your man Bruce Maxwell is out the lead. They ran him out the paint after taking that knee, and he got himself into some legal trouble. Russell Martin is still kicking around.
Okay.
he's half black. 100% Canadian. We'll take him. And outside of him, I don't know if there's anyone else there.
Can we count Kurt Suzuki? He got any black in him?
He does not. Yeah, I think just Russell at the moment.
That'll have to be like a project we do one of these weeks, maybe in the summertime when things are a little bit slower.
Mm-hmm.
Just go around and look at like the smallest percentages of black athletes at a particular position.
In all sports? Oh, it's easily. Well,
in all sports.
It's probably either catchers or it's kickers in football.
We got a black punter,
but there are no black kickers to my
place kickers. Yeah, because I know the Raiders had a black punter for a little while, didn't they?
Yep.
Yeah, but no. I'm trying to think, who's the last black kicker of note?
Marquette Keene is the punter. Who's not on the Raiders anymore. Last kicker. Let's see. Black. It's funny. I mean, that's funny. But I think there's more black NHL goalies than black kickers.
Wow.
So there was Reggie Hodges, another punter.
Oh, yeah, Reggie Hodges. Because what I used to do in Madden, I would change it. You know how you could change positions?
Mm-hmm.
And the ratings would go up or down depending on what position they went to. Like, I think as a punter, he was like 75 maybe, 80 maybe. And I was like, okay, I'm about to make him a black kicker. And I switched his position to kicker, and his rating went down to 45. And I'm like,
oh, man. Even the game was like, nah, man.
Like, nah, son, we ain't doing this.
Yeah, I don't. There's definitely no black kickers at the moment. I can't even tell you the last. Because Reggie Roby was a punter.
Yeah, Reggie Roby was a punter.
Oof. Then has there ever been a black kicker?
Has there ever been? I'm pretty sure there was one. Black NFL kickers. Has there ever in the history of the NFL been a black kicker? Okay, hold on. Wait a minute. Nope, they're counting punters. I don't want punters. I want kickers.
I don't think there's been one.
Why have there been almost no black NFL kickers? Let's see.
So the undefeated did something here in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. This is just about quarterbacks, looks like. Yeah, I don't think there's...
Okay, here we go. I'm looking at a Psychology Today article, of all things.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Henrique, PhD. All right, and it says... let me go back down. According to analysis, in the history of the NFL, there have only been 5 black place kickers.
Okay.
Since the league began, there have been over 1,400 roster slots for kickers. Only 14 of those roster slots have been held by individuals who have been black.
Oh, Justin Metlock. Okay. Yeah, I remember him. He went to UCLA as well.
You don't even really see a whole lot of black kickers in the college either, though.
No. I mean, even other races, you don't see many minority kickers in general. Yeah.
Like, every now and then, like, you got your boy for the Chargers that got ran out the paint.
Yep.
Cairo Santos, is he Latino?
I don't know if he's Latino or Brazilian. Let me see. He's Brazilian.
Okay, we'll count it. We got Cairo Santos, your boy... what was his name for the Chargers?
Young Ho.
Young Ho. Because then he ended up going to the American.
He went to the AFL.
Yeah, and then they folded.
Yeah. The Notre Dame Irish, the Fighting Irish, have a Korean kicker.
Mm.
I don't know if he's Justin Yoon. I don't know if he got drafted or if he's still in school. So Justin Yoon is a senior. I don't believe he was drafted over the weekend.
And
we can transition to the NFL in a second. But he was actually a pretty damn good kicker in college. So I'm assuming that he will get picked up by someone, hopefully. But it's hard.
Honestly, I know kickers don't get a lot of shine, and they far too often get a lot of the blame. But if I were going to be in the NFL, I want to be a kicker.
Oh, it's the best. You're part of the team without taking, usually, if things go right, the majority of the punishment.
Yep. And you still, like, you don't get quarterback money, but you still get a pretty nice check.
And we just saw Janikowski retire. He was 41, I believe. He played 19 seasons. He got paid for a kicker. He's probably a borderline Hall of Famer now. It's not bad work.
Yeah, we got to start an initiative for young black men who play football to become kickers.
Yeah. It feels like it's an easier way to get into football as opposed to running back. Like, everyone wants to be a running back, but if you're really, kicker is important. If you're a really, really good kicker, you got a job for life.
Yep. Yeah, I think that'll be something we got to do is start some type of initiative to get more black men into the kicking game.
Yes.
Honestly, I think if you look at high school, there's probably been more girls that have been kickers than African American boys.
Yeah, what I've noticed here, especially in LA, is a lot of the kickers will be Hispanic, and usually like soccer people.
Yeah, soccer players. Yep.
And they'll try to get them over to come kick. I would read a story about why kicking has been majority white. If it's just like a, you know, not to play the stereotype card, but is it, do you put your best athletes in positions other than kicker?
Mm.
Are they too valuable to be a kicker and you put them at somewhere else?
Who was your man back in the day that got thrown off of TV? Was it Jimmy the Greek for saying black players have an extra bone in their leg?
Was it Jimmy the Greek or was it...
I'm thinking it was Jimmy the Greek.
I think you're right.
Because it's like, that would have been my argument. Like, hey, if we got all this extra bones and muscles in our legs, why wouldn't you put the black person the kicker?
Yeah. That was Jimmy the Greek.
Yeah, that's because Jimmy the Greek was making that good CBS money, Tilly.
Yeah, 1988 fired.
Messed around. And, you know, these black players, they got an extra bone in their body.
Yeah.
But yeah, you mentioned the NFL draft, Marcus. Went down last weekend.
Yes, Thursday through Saturday.
I know it's just Monday, but it feels like an entire week ago.
A long time ago.
Yeah, that happened. But of course, the NFL draft, it was in Tennessee this year, right?
Nashville, yep.
Yeah, because that's, who was it, the clip I saw? Talking trash. Former Colt.
Oh, Pat McAfee.
That was Pat McAfee?
When he came out to do the pitch and he was talking about Titans fans?
Yep.
That was McAfee.
Okay.
He's pretty funny.
Yeah, Kyler Murray went number one with the first pick to the Cardinals, Marcus Vandenberg.
We're not going to go through Donald Trump, number one. He went first.
We're not going to go through the whole list. I just kind of run through the top 10 real quick, and then we can talk about it. Number two was Nick Bosa to the 49ers. Q Williams went to the Jets, Marcus's Jets. Let's see. There we go. We had Florell. I don't even know who Florell is.
Yeah, that was the first curveball of the night, was Quinn and Farrell of Clemson, who was not ranked that high on the draft board. But the Raiders said, he's our guy.
I mean, we don't have a pass rusher. I don't know why we don't have a pass rusher.
Yeah.
Because we traded him away.
Another first-round pick either. So.
Yeah. Devin White to LSU. Daniel Jones from Duke went at six to the Giants.
Giants to the Raiders. Hold my beer. Let me show you how to do this. Draft.
Yeah. I was like, he was a decent quarterback at Duke, but like, not top 10.
No.
Not top 10 decent.
No.
Yeah, Josh Allen from Kentucky go to the Jags. TJ Hockenson to the Lions, which, if I'm not mistaken, Marcus, this is the second tight end they've picked fairly early after Eric Ebron, that I guess that experiment they're like, hey, it didn't work the first time, so let's do it again.
Well, the problem was, once he left Detroit, he became a very good tight end in Indianapolis. So, but Iowa is known for their tight ends. They had two tight ends in the first round, actually. So I think he'll be decent, I think.
And then we rounding out the top 10, you had Ed Oliver from Houston going to Buffalo, and Devin Bush from Michigan going to the Pittsburgh Steelers, Marcus Vandenberg.
Yes.
So we could talk about that, or we could talk about, was there any other thing that caught your attention? Like for me, the Dwayne Haskins pickup by the Redskins.
The Redskins, yeah.
That was an interesting one for me because effectively, like, they don't know what's up with Alex Smith. They don't know what's up with Colt McCoy. So effectively, you could be handing the keys to the franchise to this young brother.
I think Alex Smith, done. Colt McCoy, is I think he's a fine backup.
Yeah, maybe a decent stopgap if you need him to be, but he's not a week to week starter.
But did you know there's another quarterback in Washington as well? Because I did not realize this until Thursday.
No, I did not.
They picked up someone.
Really?
Yeah.
Anybody notable?
Someone, I guess. Case Keenum.
I was going to say, it's not Kaepernick, but it's the other CK.
No, Case Keenum.
Interesting. So I guess you could start Keenum for this season until Haskins is ready.
Yeah, I would probably lean that route. I hope they learn something from RG3.
Yeah.
And sort of maybe not only from rushing him a little bit.
Not only learning from what happened with RG3, but also seeing what the Ravens did with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
And Joe Flacco. You know, no need to rush a kid in there unless he's ready. Or unless the starter is just terrible.
Yeah, and I think Keenum will be okay.
Yeah.
Probably very much like Flacco was. Okay, not great, not really going to get your team over the top. And, I mean, who knows with the Redskins, they might just be 7-9. And at that point, maybe you shouldn't rush it.
No, I wouldn't. I am intrigued, though, because they have been kind of searching for the guy for a minute. They thought it was RG3, and it was RG3 for like 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Then they thought it was your boy. You like that. I'm blanking on his name.
Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, you like that. Kirk Cousins, who is, again, like, and I laugh every time Bomani Jones, a friend of the program on Twitter, would have those exchanges with Redskins fans about Kirk Cousins, because he's not terrible, but he's not what y'all think he is.
Yes.
Like, there's a ceiling and a limit to what Kirk Cousins can do. So he wasn't going to be the guy in Washington. Alex Smith is good, but he's also got a limit to what he can do. Like, we know what Alex Smith is. And so can Haskins, if they groom him properly, can he be that guy that can restore the Redskins to the glory years that they had in the 80s and 90s.
To be fair about Cousins, I do think he's a very good quarterback, I think. Considering this year of Alex Smith and, you know, can't predict the injury, but I think if they figured out how to get him under contract sooner, because they were franchising
like 2-3 years in a row.
Yeah, and you know, eventually you reach a point where financially it doesn't make any sense to put the tag on him. I do think if they had him locked up to a longer term deal, it would have been an okay situation in DC. And this year in Minnesota, he was okay. He wasn't bad. He had a career high in touchdowns. He completed 70% of his passes.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins is a perfectly adequate quarterback. Like he can win you some games,
yeah.
But he's not the type of guy that is, you know, one of those franchise top 10, maybe top 15 guys that's going to change an organization.
No, but I do think he's good enough to win a Super Bowl. I think if you have the right pieces around him, he's not going to hurt you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've seen not only your man Dilfer.
Yeah, there have been lots of talented have won Super Bowl.
We've also seen, you know, a severely diminished by injuries Peyton Manning win a Super Bowl when he couldn't even throw the ball more than 20 yards. So, yeah, I mean, it could be done, especially in Minnesota where they had the defense and, you know, you had weapons on the outside. You had a good young running back. But we'll see. Like, I've never been the biggest Kirk Cousins supporter, but I recognize his talent. And then we'll see if he gets something done. But let's get back to the top pick, Kyler Murray. What do you think they're going to do with him this year, Marcus Vandenberg? Do you think he's starter day one for the Arizona Cardinals?
Starter day one.
And do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing for him? Not necessarily for the team.
That's a good question. I think if there are no expectations, which really it's Arizona, there shouldn't be.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a bad thing. I do think the experience is what's important here. And especially since you're, you know, Cliff is installing his offense, you know, it doesn't make sense to start a veteran to run this offense. This is the guy you wanted to run this offense. Let him run the offense. So
yeah, let the coach and the system and the quarterback grow at the same time.
Yeah. So I think day one, week one, Kyler Murray will be starting for the Arizona Cardinals.
Okay. I can see that. And the only thing that makes me a little bit sad is I feel like outside of those 1 or 2 years when your boy Coach Kango, when he had the Cardinals, you know, doing really well.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that 1 or 2 year window, Larry Fitzgerald is like they wasted a lot of this dude's career.
Yeah. Well, no, he played under Palmer. He played under Warner. I mean, they didn't waste it from an individual standpoint. Like this dude's a future Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I'm speaking in terms of. They should have built a better team when you had that kind of talent around
it. I mean, at least he made it to Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
And that's more than most players, so at least he made it there.
And he graduated from college, you know, because we've seen the commercial.
Yes.
You know, we listened to the voicemail from his mama.
Yes, yes.
He did it. University of Phoenix.
So, I think all
But it would have been nice to see what could have happened had he had consistent quarterback play like these last 5 or 6 years of his career. True. If he had had somebody as good as Kirk Cousins.
Man, dude, look at Adam Thielen, man. Fitzgerald would have still be catching 100 passes if he had Kirk Cousins throwing to him. Instead of Josh Rosen.
Yeah. What do you think's in the cards for your boy Rosen?
I think he's going to struggle in Miami. I just don't think Miami's very good. I don't think Miami wants to be very good this season. So
no,
it's a tough spot it's a tough spot for Josh Rosen. And then at some point during the season, the chatter around the draft will start to come up, and then you'll start to wonder, okay, do the Dolphins want to, if they're getting the number one pick, are they going to take a Tua?
Yeah.
Tagovailoa, or a Justin Herbert, another quarterback in the draft. And then if you're Josh Rosen, what does that mean for your career? So he's in a tough spot, I think. He really has to perform, but he doesn't have a great system to do that performing.
No. And to be fair, like he wasn't terrible last year. Considering the team around him,
he was pretty bad.
Like it wasn't like he stepped into a situation like a Minnesota or like even a Redskins team where you had Adrian Peterson. Like there wasn't a whole lot of weapons to be found in Arizona outside of maybe Larry Fitzgerald.
Hey, David Johnson.
Hey, David Johnson. I'm trying to think. Was it last year or the year before when I picked him up for my fantasy team? And that was the year he got hurt.
It must have been 2 years ago.
2 years ago. Yeah. And then I was so excited for one of my fantasy teams that I was able to, you know, secure. I think I picked second that year. And I got David Johnson. And then 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later.
All over.
I do think, though, it's still too early to, you know, kind of label him a bust.
No, he's not a bust, but no. And I do think he is the criticism about him. And I think a lot of it came from the Steve Smith segment where Steve Smith got on him because he unfollowed the Cardinals on social media, which this is a real thing we're discussing in 2019. that felt a little unfair. And by all accounts, his teammates in Arizona loved him. I thought his video he sent out was really classy and not only sort of recapping his time in Arizona and sort of hyping Dolphins fans, but he also had a message for Kyler at the very end.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, that you don't see that from quarterbacks, especially quarterbacks.
And, and, And he really didn't have, like, it wasn't something he had to do.
No, he didn't have to do it at all.
So, that impressed me. So that's why I kind of hope, even though Arizona might not have been the right fit, I don't think Miami's going to be a great spot. Like, I hope he gets a shot somewhere down the line. And maybe this year is just an audition for him for whoever the next team is.
Yeah.
So,
because I could see him moving on elsewhere after the season.
Yeah, very, very possible. Any other thoughts and takeaways from the draft, which I got to tell you, Marcus, I was not that invested in the draft this year. And I don't know if it's because of the players that came out or if it's just, you know, I was busy. But for whatever reason, the draft, usually at least that first night, is something I'm invested in. Not so much this year.
I mean, look at you ran off the top 10. I mean, a lot of those names, we'll talk about Nick Bosa in a second.
Yeah.
But obviously Kyler, people have heard of, Ed Oliver. But look at the schools. Look, Duke, Kentucky, Iowa, Houston. These are not traditional football powerhouses. You had obviously your Oklahomas and your Ohio States and Alabama, but I mean, Quinn Williams is a defensive tackle. No one knows defensive tackles. So it was just the household names just weren't there this year.
Yeah. Real quick, you talk about the Jets. Let's stay in New York. What do you think about your man Daniel Jones?
Terrible. Terrible.
The heir apparent.
What a terrible. Just, I don't get it. They could have drafted Daniel Jones at 30.
Yeah, definitely.
We're at 17. They had 3 picks.
Honestly, you know what, Marcus Vandenberg? We just talked about Josh Rosen. I think they would have been better off seeing if they could have made a trade for Rosen.
Yeah.
Then take a flyer here on Daniel Jones, especially that high in the draft.
That high, you know. The Eli Manning cloud still hangs over New Jersey.
Maybe that's why they picked him, because they wanted somebody who they thought was good but not too good, so people would start cheering for him instead of Eli.
Yeah, Eli looks pretty washed at this point. So I don't know what they're doing, to be honest.
And now, you know, without Odell Beckham, like, it's going to be so much easier for teams to defend against the Giants, because you can kind of stack up in the box against Saquon.
Yeah.
So good luck with that, Giants. let's see. Anything else about the draft before we move on to some hoops real quick? No,
Nick Bosa.
Nick Bosa, yes.
So is Nick Bosa's 49ers jersey going to be like the new MAGA outfit?
The anti-Kaepernick jersey?
Yeah, I truly believe his jersey, when they do like the top jersey sales.
Yeah.
I would be really curious to see where Nick Bosa's jersey ranks at.
Yeah, I think he has appeal to a certain segment of the football watching public.
That he does. And you know, it's kind of, I mean, I think this shows you the state of our fucked up country at the moment, where being a Republican is such a polarizing act. And you know, that's all their fault. Not gonna sugarcoat that. I mean, a lot of that is
you've even got Republicans that are disavowing Republicans now.
Yeah, that's how bad it's gotten.
Like, Michael Steele might as well be a Democrat. Yeah. All he does is get on TV and, like, talk about how Trump and people that are like Trump are screwing up his party.
Yeah, so I think that just shows you where we're at as a country. But
it's like the Chris Rock joke. Like, there's niggas and there's black people. And Michael Steele is like, there's Trumpers and there's Republicans.
Yeah. I mean, really, it's MAGA and Republicans now.
Yeah.
There's two separate parties within the party.
Yeah, and it's it used to be you could disagree and still have a conversation with somebody.
Yeah.
And it might get heated at times, but you can still, you know, exchange ideas, whatever, whatever. But now it's like...
Now it's... Yeah, it's...
And there's so much disinformation and misinformation.
That too.
That, like, you can't even argue with somebody because they've got 16 blogs with quote-unquote evidence that they'll send you a link to.
Mm-hmm.
It's like... And then if that doesn't work, then they'll what about Chicago? And like, what about Chicago? Did Jermaine do something? Like,
yeah.
But do you remember when did we ever talk on the show about the Nick Bosa, Clay Travis thing with Black Panther?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, because Clay Travis had said something about how Black Panther was super overrated because that's something Clay Travis would say if you know his body of work.
Yes.
And then Nick Bosa got online and he's like, yeah, it's one of the worst Marvel movies. I don't like it. It's the worst Marvel movie. And then people kept asking him, like, have you seen this one? Have you seen this one? Have you seen Thor: The Dark World? And it turned out the only Marvel movies he had seen were Black Panther, Guardians of the Galaxy, and like Iron Man 3. And so out of all the Marvel movies, Black Panther is the worst because he's only seen three Marvel movies. And I think I sent him a tweet about that, and I think he might have blocked me because I was like the 10th or 12th person that got
Clay Travis.
Nick Bosa.
Oh, okay.
Because he was like, "Hey, I can't I have an opinion? You know, just because I don't like it doesn't mean that I'm a racist." And it's like, yeah, you can have an opinion, but it needs to be an informed opinion.
Yeah.
Like, you can't claim it's the worst movie out of 22 movies when you've only seen three movies.
Yeah. I think Nick Bosa is going to be in for a bit of a reality check. And I do think the players in the team will sort of police that locker room.
I'm trying to think because I don't remember when Joey was coming out. Was like there's stuff like this around Joey?
Nothing like
when
this.
He came out?
No.
That's what I thought.
And we should mention Nick Bosa had some tweets about former President Barack Obama. He called Kaepernick a clown on Twitter. He trashed Beyonce, which, you know.
Oh, he's going too far there, brother.
Beehive, I get it. I'm just kidding. and
I will say, Marcus, I'm not, you know, an over the moon Beyonce fan, but I got to give her credit for that. What was it the live album she just dropped?
Yes,
it's pretty good.
Yes,
pretty good. I'll give you that, Beyonce.
So
he's kind of like the anti. Who's my man on the Eagles that I really like? Howie Long's son,
Chris Long.
Chris Long. He's like Chris Long is very socially conscious and
he's very woke, as the kids used to say.
He's very woke, as they say. And so he's like the anti Chris Long.
Yes, he is. And look, I mean, that's fine if you want to if you're a Republican and you're proud of that, like, that's fine. But you just gotta know you picked the wrong sport because this isn't baseball where this might be more acceptable or not as big of a deal. I mean, you never really hear about baseball players sort of getting caught in the middle of this on social media, yeah. Even though there are a lot of Republicans in baseball.
Well, and that's the other thing. Like, there's nothing wrong if you want to be a Republican, but
no.
Be smart.
Yeah.
And don't make statements, particularly in this social media age,
don't
that can alienate your teammates.
Yeah.
Because you ain't got to answer to me. You ain't got to answer to Marcus. You ain't got to answer to Joe Biden. But you got to answer to them dudes in your locker room.
There are a lot of them dudes in his locker room that you have to answer to. And I do think he can definitely earn their respect. He's a hell of a player. I do think he can definitely get past this. But I do think it's going to be a wake-up call for him.
Yeah. So stay woke, Nick Bosa.
And if you see a Nick Bosa jersey out in the streets, just be warned.
Just be aware.
Yeah, especially if you're not in San Francisco. Because trust me, that is not a city that's going to, I think, openly wear NetBuster jerseys.
So if you're in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, you want to go visit the birthplace of Tim Anderson, and you see a bunch of Nick Bosa jerseys walking your way, you might want to walk the other way.
Yes. Some New Balances on.
I didn't know Nick Bosa was this popular down in Alabama. Oh, so that's your man, Nick Bosa. That's the NFL draft. And let's wrap things up this week, Marcus, by talking about what I'm sure Nick Bosa is most interested in this week, the NBA playoffs.
Yes.
So the first round outside of the Denver-San Antonio series and outside of maybe one game in that Golden State-Clippers series, they're kind of boring.
The Portland, the Portland finale.
That one was good too. Because we got the great meme out of that game.
Oh yeah.
So, but other than those three things, it's been pretty. I'm not gonna say boring, but it just hadn't been.
It's been like captivating.
Yeah, it's been very predictable, very chalk so far in the first round. But now, Marcus, we are in the second round. And we're down to eight teams. We got Milwaukee and Boston in the East, Philadelphia and Toronto. Well, Milwaukee and Boston, and then Philadelphia, Toronto in the East, Golden State, Houston, and then Portland and Denver in the West. Let's start in the East. In the East, because I was asked last night during the Rebellion review from Brandon and from NJ. About the Philly series. And so, Marcus, I'll pose the question to you that he posed to me last night on the show. Do you think that his 76ers have what it takes to come back and defeat Kawhi Leonard and the Toronto Raptors?
I do not, no, because I don't think Joel Embiid is even close to being healthy. And without a healthy Embiid, this team is going to struggle beating the Raptors. Currently, the Raptors are down by a bit in this game too. That's on at the moment, and they're tied at within four. So, obviously, they won game one pretty easily, and I can see the series maybe going five or six for Toronto, but I don't see the 76ers winning.
Yeah, I think I'll agree with that. I'll say Raptors. Raptors in five.
Okay.
Just because. It would be a different series if Embiid were at full strength.
Yeah.
But he's not, and that changes that dynamic with Philly dramatically. So we're both going Raptors here. Sorry. Did I say Brandon, or was it MJ from NJ?
No, Brandon asked a question.
It was Brandon. Okay. So sorry, Brandon. So many guys from NJ on the post message boards.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's a
Paul from New Jersey. Brandon, New Jersey.
It's either one person or it's a gimmick.
MJ, yeah.
Was he at the? Was Brandon at the?
Oh, Brandon was at the. Yes, he was
at the post meetup in New York.
He was. He did not ask a question. I was waiting for him to ask the final question.
Mm.
But he did come up to introduce himself to John Away.
Okay.
Afterwards, and you know the whole Doink the Clown laughing gimmick he has.
Yeah.
It happens in real life, too.
Oh, you got to live the gimmick. You got to live the gimmick.
You do.
All right. So on the other side, Milwaukee and Boston. Boston currently with a 1-0 lead on your man Giannis Antetokounmpo. And the Bucks. You taking Boston in that series? Because I'm going Boston in six.
I'm not sold on, or excuse me, I'm not done with Milwaukee just yet. So I know they look pretty bad.
I mean, you can make the argument they have the best player on the court.
Yes, they do.
Will that he's translate though? Yeah, I'd say he's better than Kyrie at this point.
But Boston will has the experience.
Yeah, Boston's got the experience. They got the depth. Will the youth and will having Giannis translate into Milwaukee winning? I just don't see it this year. But I do think out of all the teams left in the East, they're the ones I think that have the best outlook for the future.
Yeah. I'll still go Milwaukee. I think it's probably going seven at this point.
Okay. I'd like to see that. I would like to see that. I'm just, based on history, I'm kind of going with Boston at least for this year.
Okay.
In the West, Marcus, we've got Golden State and Houston. This is probably the marquee matchup of the remaining teams in the playoffs. Golden State with a 1-0 lead. Is there any way, Marcus, that you see the champs get knocked off in this round?
I do not know. I think they're going to get past Houston. I know game one is pretty close, and there's a bunch of crying from both sides about the officiating, but I think Golden State's the better team. And Kevin Durant at the moment is playing out of his mind.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to give Golden State a good show on the way out when he's heading to New York.
Yeah.
Give him something to remember him by.
Yeah. You'll miss me when I'm gone.
Yeah. I agree. I think Houston's best shot was last year.
Mm-hmm.
And if they didn't get it done then, I don't see them getting it done now. I do think it's going to be a competitive series, though.
Yes, I do.
I do think like the games will be close. It'll probably get a little chippy. But I'm going to go Golden State in six hard-fought games.
Okay.
So we're both going Golden State there. And then finally, we got Portland and Denver. Who you got in this one, Marcus?
Ooh, this should be a close series.
So I think this is probably the most difficult one to kind of predict.
I'm going with Denver. I think Denver has the deeper team. You know, I think Portland might lose a little bit of steam just based on how hard fought the Thunder series was and that ending.
Yeah.
And I do think the Nuggets, because they went seven, I do think sort of being in that rhythm will end up being play to your advantage and not having that downtime. So, give me the Nuggets.
I think it's going to be close. I think this is, in my opinion, the one series in this round that I think is going to go seven. I think it's going to be back and forth, but I do give this slight edge to Denver. Like you said, they're deeper, and I think there's a confidence boost and a psychological advantage from having beaten the Spurs and Popovich in seven. And granted, the Spurs aren't, you know, this year aren't what they've historically been, but they're still the damn Spurs.
Yeah.
And so I think that's going to give them some more confidence. And I say Denver wins in seven.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think this round will have a little bit more intrigue than in the first round.
Yeah, I agree.
Now that we got all those bums out of the way. Sorry, Utah.
Sorry, Clippers.
Sorry, Clippers. Hey, the Clippers had that one great moment, though. They had that one shining moment.
Down 31.
I don't even know how that happened.
They are a very likable team, and I don't think they will never be the top show in LA, but
no.
It would not surprise me if more fans jumped off that Lakers bandwagon if they have another poor season and jumped on the Clipper bandwagon, especially if Kawhi comes here.
Yeah.
That would be a huge boost for that team, that franchise.
Do you think that's his preferred destination rather than the Lakers right now?
I don't see him going to the Lakers. I would not count out Toronto by any means, especially if Toronto goes deep in the playoffs this year. I think the one great thing about playing for the Raptors and playing for any Toronto team is you have a country literally rooting for you. It's not just a city. And I do think there's something to be said about having that support of a whole nation compared to just a state. So I do think if the Raptors make it to the finals, I would not be surprised if Kawhi stayed.
And it's an easier route. If you're about winning championships, if you're about being in the finals, even though the East has gotten better, it's still an easier route right now than coming over to the West.
Yeah.
As LeBron found out. Speaking of L.A., brother, we're going to end this week's show on a bit of a down note. As the entertainment industry, the movie industry, and I would say, dare to say, your hometown, has lost one of its most important people in terms of movies and film and kind of presenting the culture of Los Angeles on the movie screen.
Yeah. John Singleton died on Monday at the age of 51.
Yeah, just the news came out, a couple hours ago? Because when I left this morning, he had a stroke, I guess, over the weekend.
Yes.
And when I left this morning,
it's been a little bit, but I didn't get to report it until, yeah.
Yeah, because I didn't see it reported until like late last week.
Yeah.
Okay, and then I guess today, this morning, they took him off of life support. And he ultimately passed, I guess, a few hours ago. Well, they reported he passed a few hours ago.
Mm-hmm. He was only 51. He was an LA native, went to USC. He's definitely, in terms of black film directors, he's probably, safe to say, he's number one, right? Just in terms of sort of being at the forefront, being young, being first to be nominated for awards. I mean, he was...
I'd say Singleton or Spike. They're right there.
Oh, yeah. Spike, yeah. I forgot about Spike.
I think Spike's had the longer...
Spike has the bigger body of work.
Yeah. John Singleton, like you said, being the youngest nominated for an Academy Award.
Yeah, for Best Director.
Yeah. Like there were a bunch... And it was funny because there was a bunch of... young black directors that came out around the time of John Singleton, you know, like mm-hmm. Matty Rich and people like that. And I think he was the only one that really endured out of that crop that he was in. Like the other guys are still working, but when you talk about Boys in the Hood, you know, that is a all-time classic. When you talk about Higher Learning, Baby Boy, he did one of the Fast and the Furious movies. Like yeah. John Singleton is somebody who has not only been able to make good films and critically acclaimed films, but he's been able to make money in the movies too, which some of those other guys wasn't able to do.
Yeah, and you know, I think so often, and this is where Spike is similar too, I think so often that black directors get pegged as making black films, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. And John Singleton made just films, period. And yes, those films might have featured predominantly black cast, but they did not get that label. And that's where I think Tyler Perry is sort of hamstrung. And I mean, part of that is because his films are probably worthy of it, but he's definitely labeled as a black filmmaker.
Yeah.
John Singleton was not that.
Out of all the guys, what are you talking about, like a Tyler Perry or Lee Daniels, the closest comparison from like maybe some of the new people that would remind me of John Singleton, it's two people. It's F. Gary Gray,
mm-hmm.
who directed Be Cool that we talked about on Post Wrestling this past week. And he also did one of the Fast and Furious movies as well. But then also Ryan Coogler, who directed Creed, Black Panther, Fruitvale Station. Like, those guys, to me, seem like they're in the vein of a John Singleton where...
Antoine Fuqua as well.
Yeah, yeah. Antoine Fuqua, who did Training Day.
Yep.
Like, we're going to make movies about topics that interest us, and a lot of times they're going to happen to star black actors and actresses because those are the people that we work with. But that doesn't make this a quote-unquote black movie that only black people can watch.
Yeah. It's important because trying to cross over to the mainstream is tough, especially movies, especially like, when
Singleton also did Four Brothers, which Four Brothers wasn't some box office smash, but again, you know, starring Mark Wahlberg and Andre 3000 and Tyrese, like
Tyrese.
Look, what more do you want from me, Marcus Vandenberg?
I hate you, Jody.
He also, I don't know if you ever watched Snowfall on FX.
No, I have not.
He created Snowfall. And basically it's a series set in L.A. in the early 80s that kind of follows the rise of cocaine and the drug trade. It's actually a pretty good little series.
I've been meaning to watch it. It's my long list of stuff to watch.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do now that he is no longer with us, but it's a very interesting show. And that's what I liked about John Singleton. Like, I didn't love all of his movies, but I liked that he took chances with things. Like, Higher Learning is a movie that I don't know if you could make that today.
Probably not.
Like, somebody...
Though Mike Rappaport would be definitely willing to play Remy again.
He would be so much more convincing as Remy than like,
let me play myself.
Like, I don't know what it was, but Michael Rappaport really got into that role.
Yeah.
Like, let me say nigger one more time. Easy there, Tim Anderson.
Yeah.
But, yeah, as somebody that... is from L.A., Marcus Vandenberg, and grew up in that area. What did you make of his work, and in particular, kind of the representation of your hometown in his movies?
Yeah. I think it's rare that you see a director or even anyone in the arts that sort of peaked with their first project, but I think that was the case for John Singleton, and that's not a knock on his career, but I just think Boys in the Hood was so good that, I mean, sort of like Nas and Illmatic, right? You know, Nas releases Illmatic at 18, 19. He peaked. He's not going to release another Illmatic in his career, and nor should he, because Illmatic's an all-time great. Same with Boys in the Hood. So I think, unfortunately for John, I felt like his career sort of hit this mark early on, and then after that point, it was... I think trying to figure out what was the next Boys in the Hood. And I think we saw some of that with some of the films that came out after that and Poetic Justice and Higher Learning, which, you know, featured a lot of, or some crossover in terms of the cast and whatnot. Mm. And then later on in his career, he sort of became, or took more of the mainstream route with the Too Fast, Too Furious franchise. And
yeah, he also did the Samuel Jackson Shaft in 2000.
Yeah. Baby Boy became a hood classic. it's, you know, I think his impact is, I think, a little more special for people in LA because, you know, going to USC, you don't really see a lot of people who look like you taking part in the film program at USC. So for him to sort of, you know, grow up here, go to USC, which is a pretty hard school to get into, I think that means a lot to other, especially other inspiring black filmmakers to see sort of his path.
Yeah. And again, like I don't know specifically because I haven't looked into it. And maybe now, you know, that he's passed, I will. But, you know, who knows what type of impact somebody like a John Singleton might have had on N.F. Gary Gray.
Yeah.
Or Antoine Fuqua or Ryan Coogler, who has like the highest grossing movie by a black director in history.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we don't get that if he didn't see, you know, Boys in the Hood or Baby Boy and was inspired to make his own movies.
We forgot to mention the other project he worked on, Nate.
What would that be, Marcus Vandenberg?
Remember the Time.
You mean the can we still talk about Remember the Time? I don't know.
Is Michael still canceled? I don't know.
we can uncancel him, but yeah, that was a great video with your boy Magic Johnson.
Magic Johnson, all in the video.
Yep.
But Eddie Murphy. Was Magic? Was he one of the kings? The Egyptian? Was he a king?
He was like the announcer.
Oh no! Like, who am I thinking about? Who played the?
Eddie Murphy was the king.
Okay.
Eddie was the king, and Magic was like, he would introduce all the people coming into the throne room.
Okay.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the stick man. And then the guy would come out with the sticks, and Eddie was like, because it was Eddie and Iman was playing the
Iman.
Queen.
Iman, yep.
And then, unfortunately, though, I think Magic only kept that job for a minute because he couldn't have a meeting with Eddie because he was like, if I talk to Eddie, I won't be able to quit. He'll talk me into keeping his job.
Oh, magic.
But that video, that was a great video, though.
That video was probably ahead of its time. If that video came out in 2019, it would be.
Yeah, because you had the thing where Michael did the spin and turned into dust.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great video.
Also featured Tiny Lister.
Yes. Yeah, we had Zeus in the building.
Zeus.
I'm trying to think. That might have been I don't know if that connection with Singleton might have introduced him to Ice Cube for the Friday movies, or was that connection already made?
That's a good question.
When did Remember the Time come out? That was
92.
92, and Friday was 94, I want to say.
Yeah.
So maybe, who knows? Maybe that connection, that's how we got Debo.
Maybe.
So, but yeah, like I still, to this day, like I love Boys in the Hood. Like I think it gets unfairly cast sometimes as, you know, this is a black movie. Because I think like there's something that you can gain from this movie, even if you're not a person of color, or even if you haven't grown up in the environment in the movie.
I will say it's probably, if you did not experience the 90s, it's probably a little bit harder to watch now. Like, I would not expect a millennial to sort of take all the nuance from that movie, but definitely if you grew up at any point during the early 90s, that movie should relate to you.
Yep. Honestly, and this is going to sound like a joke, Marcus, but I'm really being serious. Because of that movie, whenever I would go to the store, I would always walk straight home. Like if I bought a comic book or, you know, like a video game or something like that, I wouldn't like look at stuff on the way home when I'm walking. I would walk straight home because that's how they got my man Ricky.
Ricky, man.
Scratching them damn lottery tickets.
Yep.
Like, just go home and then scratch the lottery tickets, Ricky.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a great movie. And again, like, shout out to John Singleton for, again, not only being a director that has something to say, but also found a way to maintain a career in Hollywood, which is not always the easiest thing to do, particularly when you're black.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, I think I think I still would probably maybe rank Spike a little bit higher, but
Spike's body of work is definitely.
But if you're talking about black directors, like, you're not gonna go but two or three names before you get to John Singleton in terms of his impact.
And only 51. That's just
That's the other thing, man. Like, just how young he was.
Yeah.
And how many more stories could he have told, or, you know, even in a producer role, because he was a producer for Hustle and Flow and Black Snake Moan and a couple other movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe we don't get those stories if he wasn't, you know, able to lend his name to the project.
Yeah.
So who knows what he could have done, but at least we still have the work that he left here. So, you know, rest in peace to John Singleton, who died today, Monday, if you listen to this in the future, which, of course, you are because we're recording this live. John Singleton passed away Monday at the age of 51 in L.A. So, I don't know where you're going to go from here, Marcus. How do we end this on a happy note?
I hate you, Nate. No.
The hoes got to eat, too.
Yeah, man. That movie.
That movie was amazing.
That review, the Black from Black Cinema review for Baby Boys, is a classic.
But Marcus is still throwing shade at Tyrese.
Yeah, well,
National Treasure Tyrese.
That's easy.
Is that how Tyrese got in Too Fast, Too Furious?
Probably
because of John Singleton. Probably, yeah.
I can't think of another way.
Because he. John Singleton be loving him some Tyrese.
More than his acting skills.
Yeah, because that's at least three different movies he made that Tyrese was in.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Without John Singleton, we wouldn't have the greatness of Tyrese in our lives.
Well, we still have R&B Tyrese.
He still would have been the dude from the Coke commercial singing in the background.
That's right.
That's how Tyrese got started, for those that don't remember.
Yeah.
Singing on a Coke commercial. But yeah, so rest in peace, John Singleton, and go see Avengers this weekend. Or this week, just, if you haven't seen
that,
it.
Disney needs more of your money.
Yeah, because Disney needs more of your money because Marcus Vandenberg is, you know, now he's got to add somebody to the Disney plan next time he goes.
Not yet.
Gotta
three and under.
A three and under get in for free?
For free.
Okay. So he'll be three until he's five?
Pretty much. Until he starts growing facial hair.
That's a big baby. Oh, he just, you know, he's, it's the, what they put in these food these days, the chemicals. Mm-hmm.
It's hormones.
GMOs. Yep. So Marcus, where can the people hit you up on social media and find out about the work you're doing? Let you know some spoilers for Endgames. No, don't do that. Don't do Marcus like that. Jermaine probably would.
Yeah, Jermaine.
Jermaine's petty.
I'll block
you,
Jermaine.
Where can people find you on social media?
You can find me at Marco Will, MarcoWill.
You can find me on Twitter at N8, MozAik, at Nate Mosaic on Twitter. You can check out the show, Cospod, KOS_POD, Cospod on Twitter. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/thekingsofsport. I'm trying to think. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Podcast Addict. Wherever you find your podcast, we will be found there. And trying to think. Okay. Like, rate, subscribe. And most importantly, if you enjoy what we're doing, share the show with your friends. Don't keep all this goodness to yourself.
Yes.
So unless you got anything else, Marcus, I'm going to go because I've got basketball to watch. I've got Raw to watch. I've still got to recover from Endgame and so on. And I'm just going to enjoy the rest of my night.
You're going to watch Raw, huh?
Somebody has to.
That's John Away's job.
I think I will just skip Raw and just watch basketball and then listen to Review of Raw. See if there's anything I need to watch.
The best way to do it.
Best way to do it. we'll probably be back next week. I mean, we will be back next week, but we'll probably be talking more NBA. We may or may not talk hockey. I'm not sold on hockey.
We can talk some boxing. We had a fight this weekend.
Oh, we do.
Canelo Alvarez.
Oh, we do. Yeah.
Daniel Jacobs. Yeah.
What happened with the? I missed the fight somewhere, didn't I?
Like a big fight?
Yeah, like 2 weeks
Terrence
ago.
Crawford.
Big fight.
Yeah, Crawford.
Okay.
Wasn't much of a fight.
Yeah, because I remember like seeing the weigh-ins on FS1.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't remember what happened to that fight because I think that was the same weekend Tiger won the Masters.
Yep, it was Crawford Khan. Yeah.
Yep, you're right. And then, because Tiger won the Masters, anything anybody else did that weekend didn't matter.
Pretty much.
So, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Marcus, have a good week, brother. And we'll see you back here next week. Go get ready for your Marvel Marathon once the Disney Plus app launches in November.
Yes.
Maybe we'll come up with a list of movies you need to watch in the order you need to watch them.
I can't just watch in the order it came out.
I mean, you can, but I think there was somebody online that came out with like the perfect quote unquote playlist.
Okay.
Of the Marvel movies that will bring you up to Endgame. And it was like the first couple ones were the same, but then because of like the time frames in each movie, like they would shuffle some around here or there. Like they put Iron Man 2 and Iron Man 3 back to back and skip the movie, push this movie over here. Like they put Guardians 1 and 2 together.
Okay. That made sense.
But it's going to be fun. I can't wait to hear you get started on that journey.
Some hot takes for sure.
Yeah, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport podcast. Thank you for checking us out. Be sure to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/thekingsofsport. Right now, like I mentioned earlier, there is a free review of Endgame. We put it out there to the people. We're going to give you this one for free, but you got to pay for the rest. Because I think that's how they do it in the dope game.
I wouldn't know.
You wouldn't. Well, that's going to do it for myself and Marcus. We'll be back next time with another edition of the world's most dangerous sportscast, the Kings of Sport podcast. Sports show. It's been a long week, fellas. It's been a long week, people. So, for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the Godfather Nate Milton. And the boys in the hood are always hard. You come talking that trash and we'll pull your card. Knowing nothing in life but to be legit. Don't quote me, boy, because I ain't said shit. Rest in peace, John Singleton. And you've been down with the Kings. Shit, it went something
like this. Cruising down the street in my 6'4". Jocking the bitches. Slapping the hoes. Went to the park to get the scoop. Knuckleheads out there, cold shooting some hoops. A car pulls up, who can it be? A fresh El Camino rolling Kilo G. He rolled down his window and he started to say, it's all about making that GTA. Cause the boys in the hood are always hard. You come talking that trash, we'll pull your car. Knowing nothing in life but to be legit. Don't quote me, boy, cause I ain't said shit.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X.
Let me tell you something, Mean Gene. I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna leave it all on the mat, because that's what I do when I get it done so I can do it. Yeah!